We're very glad to see you all at the Gospel service tonight. We welcome you in our Saviour's great name. We're turning to one of Fanny Crosby's Gospel hymns. It's the number 7 in our book, To God Be the Glory, Great Things He Hath Done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son. The hymn number 7, and we'll invite you to stand as we sing together, please. Just bow together in prayer. We'll seek the Lord's face together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we enter in before Thee. We come before Thy throne of heavenly grace. We praise Thee, Father, for the privilege extended to us. Think of the words that we have just sung together. To God be the glory, great things He hath done. We thank, Father, of the greatness of Your power. We thank today of the greatness of Your creation, that You're the one that has made all things. We thank today of the greatness of Thy salvation. We remember the warning of Your word, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? We thank, Father, of the greatness of Your love towards us, the greatness of the price that You paid for our redemption, that You withheld not Your only Son, but You freely offered Him up for us all. We thank, Father, of the precious blood of our Saviour that was shed for our salvation. We remember what the Scriptures teach us, that we're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. And Lord, as we ponder in prayer tonight before Thee, all these great things, we think of Your great power. We think, Father, of Your greatness, that You're the one that fills all things, that You're the omnipresent God, You're the omnipotent God. Lord, we have to say, to God be the glory. We want to pray in all that takes place tonight in this service that You'll have the glory. We pray, Father, that might be the desire of our hearts day by day, that we will ever live to Your praise and to Your glory. We pray, Father, that You'll give us just that renewed purpose. Remember the words that we've learned in the Catechism so many years ago, that man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. We pray, Father, we would live day by day in all we do to bring glory, to bring great glory to Your name. We want to ask that tonight the Saviour might be magnified in this service. We want to pray, Father, that You'll help us in the ministry, especially to make much of Christ, to make much of our Saviour. We pray that He might be exalted. Remember that He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto Myself. And we pray, Father, that in this service tonight there will be a drawing of souls, of sinners, to Christ in salvation. Lord, we remember and acknowledge that salvation is of the Lord, that work of redemption, that work of salvation, that work of regeneration is something that only Thou Thyself can do. We marvel, Father, that You've given to us a place in Your work. Not only have You ordained those that would be saved, but You've ordained the means by which they will be saved. And Lord, we thank You for the part You've given to us, even the preaching, the witnessing, the praying of Your people. Lord, we ask Thee to own the ministry of this church in these days. We want to pray that You'll preserve this testimony. We ask Thee to strengthen it. Lord, we would pray that this work will go on in the days to come from strength to strength. Lord, even as we come out of the pandemic and leave it behind and all the adverse effects of that time upon the testimony of the gospel, we're praying, Father, for a reviving. We're praying for a quickening of the work of God generally. And we ask, Lord, give to us a little reviving even here in the work of God in Armagh. We thank You for all that are gathered in this evening gospel service. Our prayer, Father, is that You would encourage every heart, bless Your people that have come along to give their support to this meeting. Lord, we ask that their prayers will be answered. We pray, Father, give to all of us a greater desire to serve Christ. Impress upon us the urgency of reaching those that are lost in their sins. Impress, Father, upon us the urgency of how little time we have, that our days upon this earth are as a shadow. Remember that You've said, what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for just a little time, and then it vanisheth away. Lord, we remember the words of the hymn we often sing. May there be the burden, the desire of our hearts. Let me labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Lord, bless the labors of every brother and sister in this meeting, all that have responsibilities in the work of God here in this congregation. May their hands be strengthened. May their prayers be answered. May their labors be owned of God. We pray that all that we do collectively, Father, as a congregation, will fall out onto the furtherance of the gospel. We pray, Father, that even in these days when it seems the tide of blessing is going out all around us, Lord, we pray that You would give to us times of blessing, send to us times of refreshing. We would ask, Father, that despite the spiritual circumstances that prevail, that You will strengthen this work, that You will own it, that You'll strengthen it numerically. We pray that You'll bring in others. We ask Thee to strengthen the work, especially spiritually. Lord, deepen the spirituality of this congregation. Mature us each one in the faith, in our understanding of your word. We want to pray, Father, that it will please thee to build us up in our most holy faith. We ask thee, Father, to cause this work to go forward in opportunities for the spread of the gospel. We pray, Father, open great and effectual doors to us for the spread of the gospel in the days in which we're found. We just commit the meeting to thee, Father, in every part. We acknowledge our need tonight, our emptiness, our weakness. We pray for the power of God. We ask thee, Father, to guide us through the meeting. We want to remember those that cannot be here tonight because of ill health and infirmity, those that have been to hospital in recent days through operations and procedures. We're mindful, Father, of those in the congregation that have loved ones not well, that don't attend this congregation but are weighing heavily upon the hearts of members of the church here. O God, be near to each one and remember the burdens that they carry. We thank you for the exhortation of your word that we're to cast our burden upon the Lord and he will sustain us. So we ask thee, Father, sustain each one in their varying circumstances and those that are unwell. Lord, we're pleading tonight. It might be your will to give them a healing touch from thyself. So we ask thee to abide with us now. And Lord, come in great power upon this meeting. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hymn number 58, please. One of the hymns of Charles Wesley. Jesus, the name high over all, in hell or earth or sky, angels and men before it fall, and devils fear and fly. Number 58, we'll keep our seats as we sing the words together, please. I ask you to take the scriptures, please. We're reading tonight from the book of Genesis. There's three portions that we would like to read from this evening. First of all, Genesis chapter 1, right at the very commencement of the Word of God. We'll read the first 8 verses. And then we're going to go to chapter 2, read a few verses at the beginning of the chapter, towards the beginning, and then turning over to chapter 17. So Genesis chapter 1, the first verse. Let's hear the word of the Lord to our hearts tonight. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And then if you turn over just a page, chapter 2, beginning at the fourth verse, just of the portion, it says, "These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." And then finally the 17th chapter of the same book, the book of Genesis. Genesis 17. We come to part of the story of Abraham. Just the opening section of the chapter. Genesis 17, verse 1. "And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the God Almighty, or the Almighty God. Walk before me, and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. And I will be their God." So closing our readings there this evening, the end of that 8th verse of the 17th chapter. We're praying the Lord will add his blessing tonight to all of these readings from his inspired word. We want to welcome you all to our evening gospel service. We welcome you in the Saviour's great name. We're glad to see all that have come to join with us tonight. We welcome those that are visiting with us in the service. We're glad to see the Roger family visiting. I was down in the evangelical bookshop last summer. She would know looking for some books. I was talking to some of the men from the Evangelical Presbyterian Church. I mentioned John's name to them. He was held in very high esteem amongst them. We were encouraged to hear that. So we pray the Lord will continue to bless our brother and the family in their ministry down there at Stradmillis in the days that lie ahead. We want to welcome as well all that are watching on the live stream. We're glad that you're able to join with us in that manner. Our prayer tonight is that this service will be a blessing to your hearts and to your souls. Remember, please, the meetings for the incoming week, all the activities of the church here. Tomorrow morning at 10 is the parent and toddler group in the church hall. Tuesday night, the children's bright hour from the church is having their outing, the end of season outing. They're going to Gulliver's at the leisure centre to be there for 6:30. The buses will collect all the children on Tuesday night, as they usually do, just 15 minutes earlier than usual. And those parents that bring their children to the meeting themselves, you're asked if you could take the children directly over to the leisure centre for 6:30. Keep in mind as well that on Tuesday night, the outreach is recommencing for the summer period. We're encouraged by the outreach work. We want to encourage you to get involved in that. The outreach team is meeting here at the church at 7:30. Even if you haven't been involved in previous years, we want to encourage you to come along and give support to that on Tuesday night. The midweek meeting on Wednesday at 8:00, our prayer meeting and Bible study, the Lord willing, I'll be here to conduct that meeting and to speak myself. Remember, Friday night, the Youth Fellowship are travelling down to Belfast, to the Martyrs, for the annual youth service at the Easter Convention. The bus will be leaving the Mall on Friday night at 6:30. So encourage all of the young people of the church to join with the fellowship as they go down to that special Easter meeting. Remember, next Lord's Day, the 9th of April, Easter Sunday itself, 10:40 the Sunday School and Bible classes, 11:30 our morning service. Remember the guest preacher next Sabbath morning, the Reverend Philip Gardner, originally from this congregation, now ministers in Perth in Western Australia. Remember the Gardner family will be travelling home tomorrow. Keep in mind that they're already a few hours ahead of us, so that journey soon to begin for them. Pray they'll have journeying mercies, smooth travel. They'll be here till almost the end of the month of April, just a time of break to visit with their families. Our brother's not here on furlough, but he will be ministering at some meetings. We appreciate him coming to preach here in his home congregation. So the Reverend Gardner, next Sabbath morning, make that known. We encourage you to come. 6:30 in the evening, the gospel service. Mr. Samuel Fitton, a fourth-year student in the Whitfield College of the Bible from the Bethany Church in Portadown. He will be ministering at that meeting. Please remember the times of prayer, 30 minutes before both services. Keep in mind that I'm preaching in both meetings down in Coleraine. Next Sabbath day, we value your prayers that we'll know the Lord's help there. Keep in mind that the latest edition of the Watching and Waiting magazine is available at the doors. They have printed in this edition of the quarterly magazine the message that I preached some time ago on will there be a battle of Armageddon. So we do commend the magazine to you. We do want to thank all the members who attended the congregational meeting on Wednesday night that took the time to come along to carry out your responsibilities of voting to elect the new office bearers of the congregation here. The Reverend Andrew Patterson and the Market Hill elders conducted that election in a very efficient manner for us. Just especially for those that weren't here this morning, to make you aware, those elected as elders were Billy McCrum, Adrian Stewart, and Fred West. Those elected as the deacons or committee men of the congregation, Stephen Gardner, Noel Haffey, Ken Hartley, Colin Hopps, David Irwin, David McCune, and Ken Werner. So we do congratulate all that have been elected. We do look forward to labouring with you in the days ahead in the will of the Lord and the cause of the gospel. There is a lot to be done. Some may find that a new experience, not familiar just with all that goes on behind the scenes in the running of a congregation. But there is a lot to be done, a lot of meetings to attend, a lot of hours to put in, decisions to be made. Some of those decisions will be difficult, and there's many other tasks to attend to as well. So we encourage you just to prepare yourself for that work, for the time and the commitment needed. Pray the Lord will give the needed help and strength and health and energy and the wisdom too to carry out all of those responsibilities. We do ask the congregation to encourage and to support and to pray for all of these men in the roles to which they have been appointed. Remember that the election of the new elders was reported on and approved by the presbytery at its meeting on Friday night past in Market Hill. Our new elders, along with others, quite a number of the churches have elected new elders at this time. They will have to attend an elders training session a little later on this month. The rule of the presbytery is that no elder can be ordained without attending that training session. A report then will be brought on it at the May Presbytery, and then the ordination service will take place after that. So we will notify you of the arrangements for that ordination service once they have been made. Keep in mind that the Bethany Church is having their monthly youth rally tonight at 8:45. James Gailey is singing. The Reverend Andrew Murray from the Ardara Church is to be the speaker, and there's a wee bit of food and fellowship for the young people afterwards as well. Remember the Easter Convention meetings. Friday night, the youth meeting. The Reverend Foster will give a report on behalf of the Youth Council. He's the current youth president. The Reverend Roger Higginson is to bring the word. There are those that have been asked to minister in song as well. 7:30 on Saturday night's the missionary rally. That's being recommenced for the first time after a number of years. The Reverend Kerskadden will give a report, our brother Mr. Chris Killen. The Missionary Council will give a report as well. The Reverend Gardner will be the preacher at that meeting. And then the final service is on Monday evening at 7. There's going to be an emphasis on the 50th anniversary of the ministry of LTBS, and the moderator, the Reverend Armstrong, will bring the word. So let me stress again the times. What we said to you this morning, all the times in the Vision magazine are wrong. So it's 8 o'clock on Friday night, 7:30 on Saturday night, and 7 o'clock then on Monday night. We do encourage you to watch the video. There's a promotional video that has been produced. It's on the denominational Facebook page, but we have posted it on our own church Facebook page as well. Remember those special meetings, the LTBS 50th anniversary service in Hebron in Ballymoney, Friday the 14th at 8. The Clerk of Presbytery, the Reverend Greer, will preach at that. Also on the Friday the 14th, there's a special Thanksgiving service for the completion of the renovation of the Limavady Church, where our young brother Matthew Higgins is ministering. And we would want to encourage Matthew and Leanne, so keep that service in mind, Friday the 14th at 8. The Reverend McRae is the soloist, and the moderator, the Reverend Armstrong, is to be the preacher. We're going to sing together some verses. I believe those are all the matters that we need to bring to your attention just tonight. 380, it is words that were penned by Robert Murray McShane. When this passing world is done, when has sunk yon radiant sun, when I stand with Christ on high, looking o'er life's history, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. We're going to sing verses 1 to 3 and then verse 5. We'll leave out the fourth and we'll stand as we sing, please. Thank you. to bow together just in prayer. We'll seek the Lord's face. Father, we want to give thee our deepest praise tonight for your love towards us. We thank you, Father, for ever loving us in Christ, bringing us to thyself in salvation. Lord, we pray that more and more from your word, that you would teach us just how much we owe to thee. Lord, we pray that even tonight you'll show us a little more of thyself. We're praying for a vision of the Lord this evening. Remember what Isaiah said, I saw also the Lord high and lifted up. Lord, we plead, give to us such a sight, such a vision. Lord, teach us thyself. We thank you for this book. We're conscious that the Bible is a revelation from God and a revelation of God. And Lord, our earnest prayer as we meditate upon the pages of your word tonight is that you'll reveal to us a little more of thyself, a little more of your greatness. Touch our hearts. Even, Father, cause us each one to be in awe tonight, to be in fear, to be in reverence of thee and of thy great name. Answer these our prayers. We offer them in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis 1, verse 1, please. We'll take as our text some other verses we want to turn you to. We will begin with the first verse of the scriptures. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I'll emphasize the name God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. We're thinking tonight of the names of God. In the will of the Lord, for some Sabbath evenings, we may do a little study in theology. Remember that theology proper is the study of God himself. We thought a few weeks ago of the Trinity and salvation. So I want us to consider tonight the names of God. Can I remind you that all of the names of Scripture, whether they be people or places, they make a very interesting study. And the names of God are no exception to that. And what makes all the names of the Bible so significant is the fact that they're not merely tags. They're not merely a word to identify you from someone else. But the names of Scripture are rich in meaning. And I want to impress that upon your hearts tonight. A person's name in those eastern lands often expressed their character. It often expressed something that they had done, or perhaps the circumstances that prevailed at the time in which they were born. For example, if you think of Jacob's name was expressive of his character. Jacob means twister, and there was no greater twister in the scriptures than Jacob himself. There's that familiar saying that we have in this country of a person so twisted they could hide behind a corkscrew, and that's the type of man that Jacob was. But then he prevailed with God, and God gave him a new name to display his standing with God. And God called him Israel, which means prince with God. So the names of Scripture, they're expressive, very expressive of character and of circumstances. And that is exactly what the names of God do. They express God's character to us. They reveal to us what God is really like. And that's why that's such an important study. In the Bible, there are many different names that are used when speaking of God. Many names other than the name God itself. And that is not done just for the sake of variation. I'm sure you remember your English classes at school. You were told not to use the same words all the time, to think of different words to use to help make the prose a wee bit richer, a wee bit of variation contained within it. Well, the various names of God that are used in the Bible are not there for variation. They're there because of great significance. Each one reveals another aspect of God's varied character and person, an aspect especially suited to that particular context in which it was written, or in which it was used, or the occasion in which it was given. So never think that the different names are just another way of saying the same thing, another way of just addressing the same person, because each name, brethren and sisters, has a different meaning, a very deep meaning. Each name has a very different significance. And let me point out that the names of God were not given by human choice. Do you remember at creation that Adam was given the job of choosing the names of all the animals? But it wasn't Adam or any other man who chose God's names. God himself chose the names that were suitable to reflect the characteristics of his being. So we're thinking tonight of the names of God. In this meeting, we're going to consider just three of God's names. There are many others, but these three are the most prominent. And in particular, we're going to examine how each of these names teaches us about God in a different relationship to man. And just as we come to this subject this evening, let me immediately remind you that God's name should be handled carefully. God's name should be used reverently. The law of God declares, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." God's name should never be used lightly, never be used without a due purpose or due cause. So let us approach this subject carefully and reverently tonight, for we are truly standing upon holy ground. The first of God's names that we're going to look at is what we could describe as God's creative name. You'll find the first mention of it in the very first verse of the Scriptures, Genesis 1, verse 1. Look at that verse again. "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." So there you have the basic and the commonly used name of God. And let me ask you to mark well the sort of letters that are used in the spelling of the name God, because that is both important and significant. Maybe you've never realized that before in your reading of the Bible, that there's different spellings, different letters that are used in the spellings of the names of God in our English translation of the Scriptures. In the Authorized Version, the translators have used different spellings, both using capitals and small letters, to help us distinguish the various names for God that are used in the original Scriptures. Note that the word here is spelt with a capital G and then the small O and D. If you see God spelt with capitals throughout, you will know that that's a different name. Look out for that as you read the Bible. The name of God spelt completely in capitals right throughout, that's a different name for God. And I'll make mention of that just a little later. But the word spelt, as you find it here in this verse, it's the Hebrew word Elohim. It occurs in the Scriptures approximately 2,700 times. So you'll see right up, it's a very prominent word in the Word of God. And this particular name reveals God as the Creator. Here's the first verse in the Bible. Here's the first reference to God Himself in the Scriptures. And it's the word Elohim that is used. That's significant. That's very important. And this is, of course, the great creation chapter in the Bible. So the context here connects this name, Elohim, with creation. And right throughout the chapter, it is the name God or Elohim that is used. If you look at verse 3, "And God said," notice again the spelling, "let there be light, and there was light." Look at verse 4, "And God saw the light, that it was good." Look at verse 5, "And God called The light day and the darkness he called night. Notice God said in verse 3. So this name of God, Elohim, dominates this chapter. And note the change that takes place then in chapter 2 and verse 4. One of the reasons why we read from various portions tonight. It says, these are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. So you'll see creation is finished and a change of name is made. Lord is introduced, which we will come to shortly in this study. So I want you to see that Elohim is the name connected with creation. Its essential meaning is God as creator. God is the first cause of everything. God is the one who has created all things. So this spelling of God reveals the creator. And I want to emphasize that and encourage you. Every time you read this spelling in the scriptures, take note of that. It is the creator who is spoken of. And the relationship to man that this name displays is that God is our creator. God is your creator. And we are his creatures. Remember the psalmist said, it is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. The reality tonight, I urge you to face up to it, especially if you're out of Christ. The reality is we owe our existence to God. Remember what Paul said, preaching on Mars Hill. He said, in him we live and move and have our being. He has given us life and breath and all things freely to enjoy. So men and women, let me highlight it for you tonight. You have the stamp upon you today that you're made by God. You might ask, what right has God to tell me what to do? What right has God to tell me that I'm a sinner, that I need a Savior? Well, we will answer tonight, he has every right, because he is the one that made you. Men today, like Pharaoh of old, shake their puny little fist up into heaven and say, who is the Lord that I should obey him? We'll just ask that question for a moment. Who is the Lord? He's your maker. He's your creator. He's the one who holds your very breath in the hollow of his hand. And you ought not to fight your creator. In fact, what you ought to do is you should fear him. You should fear the Lord. If there's one thing that's missing in our province, in the United Kingdom, across the earth today, one vital ingredient, that's what it is. It's the fear of God. Men fear everything, and they fear everybody, except for having the fear of God. Remember, the fear of God is the awe of God, that we are in great awe, in great reverence of who God is. Do you remember the last time, the story of the last time that W.E. Gladstone, who was a 19th century Prime Minister of Britain, the last time he visited Oxford University, the students had an opportunity to hear him speak. He was in a relaxed frame of mind. He was reminiscing over his life, his time in office, some of the great improvements in the country, some of the great improvements that had been introduced to society, to the standard of living. At the end, as he was drawing near a close, one of the students asked him, are there no causes for anxiety? Are there no adverse signs in our nation at this time, Mr. Gladstone? He said, I'm concerned that the fear of God seems to be dying out among our people. Now remember, he said that more than 100 years ago, well over 100 years ago. If that was true then, men and women, how much more is it not true today? No fear of God today. No fear of God before their eyes. But God ought to be feared. He ought to be reverenced. The scriptures teach, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. God ought to be feared. The one who has created the universe is the one that you ought to be in awe of. Do you remember what the Savior said? Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy soul and body in hell forever. In other words, don't fear men. He was saying, fear God. Because if God has the power to create this universe, then he has also the power to cast your soul out into hell, out into a lost eternity. And in the light of that, you should be in great awe, in great fear of him. So Elohim, his creative name. The second one that I'll emphasize is God's covenant name. If you look again at chapter 2, verse 4, these are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Here you have the first mention in the Bible of the name Lord. It generally occurs on its own, but here it's used in connection with the name God, Lord God. The words have been put together. Note again the manner in which the word Lord is spelt. Small capitals are used throughout the word. You will find Lord spelt ordinarily with a capital and a small O-R-D as well. That is done in the scriptures to distinguish that name from this one, which is spelt entirely with capitals. You can also find the word God spelt entirely in small capital letters. And if you do, it is the same name in the original as represented by Lord, entirely in capitals as well. In both cases, it is the name Jehovah. The name Jehovah occurs over 5,300 times in the Word of God. On 7 specific occasions, you have it specifically rendered Jehovah. But in every other case, in every other instance, it is rendered as Lord. And here, men and women, you have the most sacred and distinctive of all the names of God. And let me stress that this is a name that is solely and exclusively God's. It is his alone. It is sometimes described by theologians as the incommunicable name. It cannot be given, it cannot be taken by anyone else. That is why it is totally wrong and even sinful for the Jehovah's Witnesses to call themselves by this name, Jehovah's Witnesses. In the scriptures, all other names of God, even the term God itself, remember that in the Old Testament some are described as gods, and there's the term the God of gods. So in the Word of God, every other name of God, even God itself, is applied to men. But not this one, not Jehovah. This is exclusively his name. To the Jews, this name is so sacred, they would forbid anyone even to pronounce it. And a scribe, if he were to write it at all, will never write it fully and will generally wash his pen and himself afterwards. They go too far, but it stresses that this is the most sacred name of God, which is his alone. The modernists and the liberals today pronounce it as Yahweh. It has an unnatural sound about it, and there's no foundation or evidence for that pronunciation. So beware in your reading of the modernistic term. Jehovah, men and women, as a name, stresses God and covenant with his people. A covenant is an agreement between two parties. And there have been two covenants made between God and man. The first is here in the second chapter of Genesis. That is why the name change is made. The name change is introduced at the beginning of the chapter. Jehovah is introduced here because what you read of in this chapter is the Creator coming into covenant with his creatures. You may recall sometimes we have spoken of Adam being put on probation. Let me emphasize to you the words of verses 16 and 17. If you go a little down the chapter, it says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." What you have in those words is what is generally known or spoken of as the covenant of works. Adam was put on probation. Adam was put on a time of testing in the garden. God agreed with Adam that if Adam totally obeyed God, then he would obtain eternal life by his own efforts, by his own obedience. But Adam failed. Failed terribly, failed completely. And that is why, men and women, another covenant was needed between God and man, what is generally termed the covenant of grace. And it was so named because salvation was now not by man's works, but it would be all of God's grace. The book of Hebrews, chapter 13 and verse 20, speaks of the blood of the everlasting covenant. You see, way back in eternity, the Father agreed, the Father covenanted to save an elect people by faith in the merits of his Son. Remember, God gave his Son to suffer and to die so that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So God has covenanted to save all who will trust Christ as their Savior. But you might ask tonight, how do I know that that agreement still holds good? How do I know that that covenant still stands, that God will still keep the terms of that agreement or that covenant? Well, you know it for this reason, because of the name Jehovah. Jehovah not only reveals God as the covenant God, but it also reveals God as the unchangeable covenant God. He is the one that is immutable. He is the one with whom change is impossible. Remember the words of Malachi, "I am the Lord," or "I am Jehovah, I change not." Jehovah doesn't change. He never changes. Especially he doesn't change in his dealings and the agreements that he makes with his people. So you be assured tonight, men and women, if you come to God for salvation, you can be sure of this, he will save you. You can depend upon that him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. He has bound himself by his name, Jehovah, to honor his agreement and to save the believer. So his covenant name. The final one I'll mention to you tonight is what we will call God's compassionate name. You will find this name first recorded in Genesis chapter 17. That's why we read from that chapter this evening, the 17th chapter of Genesis, the first verse. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, "I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect." So here's the name Almighty, or El Shaddai. You will be familiar with those words, that term. We often refer to God as the Almighty, and that is right and proper so to do. God is the Almighty. Remember that he's the omnipotent God, the one to whom there's no limits to his power. And that is not merely an adjective describing God when we speak of the Almighty, but it is an actual name. It is an actual title of God himself, which represents him as a God of comfort and a God of blessing, a God of great provision. It reveals God as having compassion upon men's needs. It reveals God as the giver, the all-bountiful, inexhaustible giver of grace and comfort. It is not God challenging all his power into creation, but rather God in grace channeling all his power into supplying the vast needs of his people. The fact that it is revealed here in this verse, remember the first time, this is the first time that this name is used or revealed in Scripture, The fact that it's revealed here is an example. Remember the law of the first mention? It establishes for us in Bible interpretation how that term is to be used. This is the first mention, the first reference to the Almighty. Why did God choose this moment, this occasion, to reveal himself by this name? Well, he did so deliberately. And he did it to show to Abraham, and even to show to us, that he who was calling Abraham out to walk with him, he who was calling Abraham to make a covenant with him, he was able to supply all that he was promising to Abraham at that time. And how important that is, men and women. You may ask tonight, can God supply what I need? Can God supply your spiritual needs? Can God deliver the salvation that he speaks of, that he promises in his word? Well, the answer is yes, he can. How do we know that? Well, because he is the Almighty. He is all power, not only to create, but also in grace to save. Remember the words that are used in the book of Romans, that Abraham had that confidence that what he had promised, he is able also to perform. So just take that to heart tonight. May the Lord reveal it to you. All the might, all the resources of heaven are at the disposal of the sinner for his salvation. Therefore, God is not able to deliver just a little of what you require, or the most of what you require. He's able to provide all that you require tonight for the salvation of your soul. Think of those words, Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Often we just limit those words to our temporal, to our practical needs, but remember that the meaning, the promise is much fuller, deeper. He shall supply all your need. Your greatest need tonight is of salvation. Your greatest need is of regeneration, of grace and mercy, the forgiveness of all of your sins. Well, El Shaddai, the Almighty God, shall supply. My God, that's the God that we're speaking of tonight, shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Like the widow's barrel of meal, the Almighty's giving will never come to an end. Like the widow's barrel of meal, the Almighty's supply of grace and salvation will never be exhausted. It will never go done. Sometimes, when something like the rain occurs continually, a wee bit like what it has been through the month of March, we say there's no end to it. No end to the rain, no end to this bad weather. Well, my friend, when you consider the name Almighty, you remember there's no end to his giving. There's no end to his grace. There's no exhausting of his grace and of his compassion. As the hymn writer put it so well, out of his infinite riches in Jesus, infinite riches, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. So here then are the three most prominent names of God. The name God or Elohim, his creative name. The name Lord or Jehovah, his covenant name. The name Almighty or El Shaddai, his compassionate name. And it'll be clear, men and women, that they themselves tell the story. Those three names tell the story of God's dealing with mankind. Here is the God who created man. Here is the God that covenanted with man to save him from his sins, from a lost eternity. And here is the God who, in compassion, supplied the grace and salvation that man so deeply needs and requires. What a great God. In the words of the hymn, we have to bow our heads tonight and say, how great. How great thou art. So men and women, if you haven't already received the salvation that the Almighty God has provided for you, I want to urge you. I want to urge you to receive it tonight. before you go from this gospel service. And let me just say in closing, may God help us all to read the scriptures in the light of the meaning and significance of these names. May it encourage you to study the names of God a little further. And if we do, men and women, if we read the word of God in the light of the meanings of these names, they will open up new avenues, new strands of thought that perhaps you have never explored before. They will lead you a little further into your knowledge of the word and into your knowledge of God himself. So I pray the Lord will bless his word to all our hearts tonight. A couple of verses of Samuel Davis's great hymn as we finish, number 54. Great God of wonders, all thy ways are worthy of thyself divine, but the fair glories of thy grace beyond thine other wonders shine. Who is a pardoning God like thee, or who has grace so rich and free? We'll just sing the first two verses, number 54. We'll rise as we sing, please. Father, we want to thank you for the meeting tonight, for bringing us together around the Word of God. We thank you for the Scriptures, for all that you've shown to us tonight. Impress these truths upon our hearts. Lord, our prayer would be that we might leave this meeting in greater awe, in greater reverence of thee. Help us, Father, ever to reverence your name, to be careful in how we use it, how we handle it. We're mindful of that solemn warning that the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. We thank you for your saving name tonight. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Lord, our cry is that you might come and save, even in this meeting, come and save amongst our loved ones and our family circles. And Lord, we ask thee, give us a greater desire, a pursuit of God. We pray that you'll give us the desire that the psalmist had, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Hear these our cries. We commit ourselves into your keeping. Give us journeying mercies homeward, we ask. And we pray that the blessing of the triune God, the blessing of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit will be our abiding portion, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.